We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 to 6 today. It's been an interesting week in the world. This is an exciting time for the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you agree? These are the most exciting days to live in all the earth. I wouldn't want to live in any other generation. We're not looking for the troubles that other generations had. But I tell you what, we've got peace in Jesus Christ. And these are the most important days for us to live out our faith in Jesus Christ. The world is going to crumble. The systems and the things of this world are going to fall. You can watch them literally in front of your eyes fall to pieces. And if your whole life is tied into that, you're going with it. But if your life is tied in Christ, you're going to be excited to know that He's going to use you to save people and to reach out to people that seem to be going down with it. I want to just quickly share something with you, and just something that motivates my heart very often. Over this time, while Sharice and I have been looking after our little baby boy, he's a month now, and you know, there's not a lot you can do when there's a baby in the house except look after the baby. Amen? This is not a time for us to be, as much as we'd like to plan another holiday or maybe get fresh momentum for the church and all these kind of things. For me, I can let you know that I'm chilling out as much as I need to because there's a baby in the house. You know, when there's a baby in the house, you've got to make some adjustments, and you can't do 40,000 things because you'll have no energy to look after the baby. And we mustn't complain about the baby, we must look after the baby. Amen, Brad. So, over this period, I've been saying, wow, Lord, you know, I remember the days when you called me, and it's so nice sometimes when you just take a step back and you're not in everything and you're doing everything, and just take a step back and just think about, what did Jesus call us to again? What did He say to us in the very beginning? What is the thing that made our hearts beat for Him on those first days when we said, I'll give you my all, Jesus? Do you remember those days? Hey, nice to see Andre and Amanda here today. Andre and Amanda are not in Oman. Yeah. God bless you guys, man. Welcome. So, I remember sitting in my room. I wasn't married yet. I was praying in my bedroom, still living with my father at that time. And I had this vision. And I had this vision of people falling off this precipice into a fire. And just thousands of people, like a waterfall, like a people fall, rolling off the edge of this cliff into what was hell. And I was running, and I was grabbing people by the arm, and I was pulling them to safety, and I was saying to them, go in that direction. And I was taking guys who were safe and saying, come help me. And I was running with them and saying, grab them and get some more and pull them and get them across. And people were falling backwards, and I say, go that way. And I had this amazing vision of just what God was calling me to do, to go and grab people out of the clutches of the fires of hell that was licking at their feet and bringing them into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that thing burns in my heart. I want to see people saved from what's happening in the world. And folk, I trust that you would sense the call of God come upon you in a fresh and new way. And maybe even God knowing that I would lead this church, place that in my life many years ago for all of us. That I need you. We got to take the arms, lock arms, grab the arms of those that are falling, pick them up and take them into the kingdom and into safety. And I tell you, sometimes the job is too big. Because you can feel like you're one person trying to save millions. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But I reckon in these days that we're in right now, folk. In fact, this is not even the last days. Who thinks this is the end times? It's not. You know what the Bible, Jesus says? It's the beginning of birth pains when you see all these things. He says, the verse says, it is not the end. It's only the beginning of birth pains. And I know when Sharice had the beginning of birth pains, it was 11 o'clock at night. And by the grace of God, by 5 o'clock, Carter was born. I tell you, folk, it's the beginning of birth pains. The birth of what? The church rising up like never before. So that it won't be a few trying to save the many. But the church being birthed again into a fresh call to reach many who've put their trust in the things of this world. We're watching it on TV, folk, and we're shaking our heads. But rather, we should be saying, thank you, God. There's an opportunity for me to see people saved. Amen. It's the beginning of birth pains for you. It's the beginning for you to step out and say, I'm going to be used by God for the most important eternal purpose in the face of the universe. Are you involved in helping reach people that are going to go to a place that we're not going to go to? So that they can go to a place where we are going to go to. Amen? It's the beginning of birth pains. Read the scriptures. I'll find the verse for you. It says, when you see these things, Jesus says in his red words in the Bible, it is not the end. It is the beginning of birth pains. Wow. So that means there's a lot more to come. We think this is bad. It's not. It's easy. And folks, as Christians, we can't be living an easy life. We need to say, God, use me. Let my life be a challenge to the world so that they might ask me, why do I do things so differently? I'm not doing it like everyone else. I'm not throwing out my joy and everything because of the exchange rates. I'm putting my trust in a God who's made an exchange on the cross that has set us free forever. That's what we've got to live for. Are you with me? Who's going to help me? I want to see people saved, man. Will you do it? We need you. And God's going to use you as you are. You don't have to try to clean up your life to be a rescuer. You don't see a life God having a bath before he dives in and saves people that are drowning. Hello? Let's dive in and save people that are drowning, and he'll clean us along the way. Is that cool? Hebrews chapter 3. Lord Jesus, I want to ask you that you'd help me preach the words that you give me, Lord. They are words of life. The words that you preach, Lord, the words that you've taught through the scriptures are so brilliant. There's so much revelation in them. There's so many wonderful things. We haven't got the time in this day to go through the things that you say with the kind of consideration that's required. But Lord, I pray in this half an hour maybe, whatever it is, that you, God, would open our ears and open our hearts and open our lives to what you are saying. We live in times that you've predicted, not just predicted, but knew about and prophesied. And these words are for us. I pray, Lord, you would help us. Lord, I pray that we would help you. It sounds odd, but God, you've got a purpose and you've got a plan. We don't want you to come and fulfill our purposes and our plans. We want to be used by you to fulfill your purposes and your plans. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6. Therefore, obviously there was a chapter 1 and 2, and it's talking about the glory of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. The angels worship Jesus. Jesus is it, folk. If you're looking for the focus of the whole existence of everything, is Jesus Christ, the one from whom everything comes. Jesus breathed out this universe. It's all about Jesus. He's redeeming it for himself. He's known what would happen from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen in the end. Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the stay. He's the anchor. He's the one that if we look to, we're going to find peace and grace and so much in him. Folk, you've got to make Jesus the center of your lives. He is the center of the universe, so let him be the center of yours. So make Jesus everything. So then it says, therefore, if Jesus is exalted to such a great place as God, and in chapter 2, we read about Jesus being such a faithful high priest that he came as a man, and he lived among us, and he even got thirsty, and he needed a drink of water, and he even sweated, and he even bled, and he had every single experience that you could ever experience in this life, Jesus experienced it. You think you're alone when you go through the things that you go through? Jesus has gone through all of it to the highest degree. He knows exactly what you feel. He knows exactly what you get tempted with. He knows exactly how to get out of it. And so he's a great and faithful high priest. So it says here, Jesus, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling. I want to stop there. God is in heaven, and he's calling us here on earth. You know, we pray and we sing that song about let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know that God is calling us? But he's not calling us to leave. You know, in a sense, he's calling us to himself, and he's made a plan for us to come to himself. But he's not calling you to leave. It's not like the minute you hear Jesus knock on the door of your heart, and you sense the heavenly calling as before you were just living as your own. You're the God of your own life. And now all of a sudden you realize there is a God in heaven and Jesus is the King and Jesus is calling you. The minute you say, yes, I see Jesus as Lord. I believe in him. The minute you say it, you don't get raptured into heaven. I don't even believe the rapture and the second coming are different events. I believe they're the same thing. But I don't want to get into end time teaching right now. But you don't get raptured the day you believe in Jesus. Hello? Anybody believe in Jesus here? So you're still here. So that means he's got a plan, hasn't he? And so when things get tough on the earth, we don't Brexit. When things are difficult, when it just looks like there's so many troubles and there's so many things that the different nations are bringing into our nation and all these kind of things, we don't just up and leave. What is it? What we're pulling out of here? Yeah. Oh, there's too much sin in the world. Oh, no, there's too much nonsense on TV. Oh, no, Jesus, just take me to heaven, please. I want to get away from it all. He's given us a heavenly calling, but he's also given us a heavenly calling here on earth. There's a cause and there's a purpose and there's a plan that God has for us while we're on the earth. And there's a heavenly calling that we need to live in. Is your life just wrapped up in earthly calling? In the bank's calling? In the life insurance guy phoning you? In whoever phoning you? Mom phoning you, dad phoning you, mother, brother, sister, everybody phoning you? Is your life wrapped up, wife phoning? Is your life wrapped up in that calling? Or can you hear the Father calling for something more important and something greater? I trust that you would hear the heavenly calling for your life. I trust that you would open your ears to hear what God is asking of you. Because you will be restless until you find satisfaction in the thing that God has asked you to do. You will be restless running around trying to satisfy your life with whatever it is. From sport to joy to holidays to toys to whatever, you will be restless until you find out what God is calling you for. And in general, he's really needing you to save people with the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. And so, what do we do? How do we do this? How do we consider this heavenly calling? Well, how do we get into this heavenly calling? The rest of the scripture goes on. Therefore, holy brothers who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Let me stop there. We can't go further. If we're going to consider Jesus, we have to consider Jesus. We don't consider Jesus and move on. If we're going to consider Jesus, we're going to stop and consider Jesus. That word, consider Jesus, is observe, is perceive, is understand and comprehend Jesus. See Jesus. Think about Jesus. Look at what Jesus is doing. Be enamored with Jesus. Don't just, I thought of Jesus. No, really think about Jesus. If you are a Christian, you have to think about Christ. Hello? If you are a Christian, it's not about self-help steps to your greatest life now. You can go buy the books that say it's all about you reaching your fulfillment and your potential and how you can live your best life now and all these kind of things. Folk, if you're not considering Jesus, you don't have any life. And if you're a Christian, you've got to focus on Christ. What makes his heart beat? What pleases him? What doesn't please him? It's not about what pleases you. Sometimes we've taken and we've moved this thing around that Jesus is there to make me feel great. No. Jesus is there because he is great. And we've got to live our whole lives making him great. It's all about Christ. Consider Jesus. When you're reading Genesis, consider Jesus. When you're reading Revelations, I don't know if you know that Revelations is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's about Jesus. Don't skip over Jesus. Don't have a little bit of Jesus and then move on to everything else. We in this church are going to preach Jesus all the time. We preach Jesus. So Brad, when we're going to talk about marriage, Jesus is the best way to a better marriage. When you're going to talk about money, answer Jesus and obey Jesus and you'll know what to do with your money. When are we going to talk about the poor and all the... Jesus, 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 Jesus. When the Lord looked over the earth, he didn't send a whole lot of laws as if that was the solution to the problems. He sent laws to point to the fact that when Jesus comes, he'd be the solution. It's not about doing this and doing that and getting things right. It's about Jesus. Amen. This is very exciting when you get it. Because it's not about a way. Jesus is the way. It's about a person. And when you have Christ, everything that he has comes with him.
It's got to be about Him at every level. Observe Jesus. Who is He? Focus on Jesus. What does He do? You know, we used to get those little bracelets that said, "What would Jesus do?" I think we should get one, or maybe we shouldn't get one, but maybe we should think, what does Jesus think? Because if we're going to live like Christians with a biblical worldview, we have to think about every single circumstance and every situation that happens in every area of our lives the same way Jesus would think about it. Amen? If you think about sin, you have to think about what Jesus did for sin. Amen? And not wallow in your sin. There's a Savior for your sin. Jesus. If you think about your sickness, don't just think about your sickness and what tablet or what application of a plaster or whatever you're going to get for it. Think about what Jesus thinks about sickness. Because Jesus would say, "I'm going to go to the cross for your sickness, and I can heal your sickness. And if you've got faith in me, apply my healing power over your body, and I'll heal you today." What does Jesus think about it? If it's finances, if you don't have finances, if you've got too much finances, whatever the case may be, what does Jesus think? We cannot be Bible-living Christians if we're not thinking about what Jesus thinks. And we're not applying what Jesus thinks to every area of our lives. You have a worldview. When a circumstance or situation happens, the first thing you do is you think about it. And you make a deduction about it. And then you either say something which is in line with Christ or which is totally out of line with Christ. It's, "Oh, but my circumstances are different to what Jesus would think." No, Jesus never changed God's will and God's thoughts to circumstances. He brought His thoughts to change the circumstances. Hello? We got to start thinking like Jesus. What does Jesus think of you? What does Jesus think of what you're doing right now? What does Jesus think about where you're going with your life? What does Jesus think about your relationships? What does He think about everything that's happening? You have to ask yourself that question. What does He think of your parenting? What does He think of the alcohol that you're consuming? What does He think about the substances that you rely on? What does He think about the gossip and the attention to trivial things in your life? What does He think about your friends and your family? What does He think? What does He think about grace? And what does He think about love? And what does He think about peace? And what does He think about goodness? And what does He think about true freedom? Because He said, "I've come to set you free, that you may be free indeed." Hello? What does Jesus think? If you can consider Jesus, folk, you're going to be wanting to get to know Jesus and study Jesus. Because how are we as Christians going to tell the world about Jesus if we don't know Jesus? How are we going to make Him known if we don't know who He is? How are we going to tell people when they come to us and they say, "Brad, what do you think?" I can tell them, "I think this," because Jesus thinks it. Sometimes you don't even have to mention the name of Jesus, but they can see where you're coming from. Or maybe they can't see where you come from and be like, "Wow, we never thought of that before." No, Lord, give us minds that think like Him. You know that there's so many things that would pollute your mind, that would come into your mind to try to cause you to be disobedient to Christ. So we have to take every thought captive and put it into the obedience of the thoughts of Christ. And we've been given authority and power to do it. You are not a subject, I mean, you are not a, what's the word? A puppet or prisoner to your thoughts. Hello? You are the product of your thoughts, because what you think is a conviction, which becomes a value, which becomes a lifestyle and an action, and your habits. It all comes from what you think about. So consider Jesus. Consider Jesus, please. I beg of you, would you please say, "Brad, consider Jesus." And when I'm like, "Oh Lord, I wish the church, I wish that, I wish it was more people being saved." Well, Jesus. Think of Jesus, Brad. It's not about the product, it's not about the fruits, it's not about the successes, it's not about the achievements. It's about, am I hearing Jesus? Am I loving Jesus? Is He satisfied with me? Yes. Can I be satisfied? Yes. Can we move on? Yes. It's beautiful, eh? Think about Jesus. What does Jesus think about you? You ever thought about that? Man, I tell you, He thinks a lot about you. More than the grains of sand on the seashores at Olamore. More than the drops of water in the Bay of Oman. If there's such a thing. More than the stars in the heavens. That's how many thoughts He has towards you. And they are thoughts for good. And so he wants us to think in term in line with those things, folk. I made a little poem. What are your thoughts, Lord? They are higher than mine. I will not do anything that isn't in line. Simple. It's as far as I could go. I ran out of thoughts and ideas. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. It's easy for you to learn. What are your thoughts, Lord? They are higher than mine. I will not do anything that isn't in line. Amen. Let's think about what Jesus. Consider Jesus with your marriage. Consider Jesus for your children. Have you taught your children about Jesus? Please consider doing that. Consider Jesus in your job. Have you got your job and Jesus? Have you considered bringing Jesus into your job? Do you know Jesus can do a better job of your job than you can? He knows your job inside out. If you had to ask him to help you, he'll do a much better job. He'll do a better job. He'll help you do a better job. Consider Jesus in your home. Consider Jesus when you're holding that remote control in front of the TV. And then it says, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. An apostle is somebody who's an official representative of God, who's sent by God. And Jesus said this, when you see me, you see the Father. Isn't that great? So Jesus represented the Father so well that being sent, when people looked at Jesus, they didn't know it, but they were seeing the Father, who is the Father laying his hand on a leper to heal him. The Father reaching out to see the blind healed. The Father raising dead people. The Father walking on water. The Father going to the cross. Whatever you see me do, the Father is doing. It was the Father who sent his Son reaching out to every single one of us as sons and daughters. What an amazing Father. What a wonderful Father. He came himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And so Jesus is the apostle. He was sent. I want to ask you this morning, do you see Jesus? You can look at Jesus, but if you see Jesus, you'll be saved. All you have to do is see him for who he is. He's fully God, fully man. And if you see him, and you see him on that cross, for your sin, you are saved. That's all. You cannot work for your salvation. You cannot earn it. You cannot do anything for your salvation. The only thing that saves you is if you see who Jesus is. Do you see? Not just a look or a glance. See. And that's what faith is. Faith sees Christ for all that he is. Do you see Jesus as Lord? Do you see Jesus as your Savior? Do you see that when you were lost and couldn't get to God, or weren't even concerned with God, or maybe were angry at God, do you see Jesus who says, I love you, I forgive you, I wash away all your sin, I'm there for you, I will help you, I will guide you, I am your shepherd. Isn't that beautiful? Do you see Jesus, folk? The one who sacrifices for you. When you're sick, there's your healing. Can you see it? When you worry about death, can you see eternal life in Jesus? Can you, when the world looks like it's melting like mud in the storms of whatever's showering and thunderstorming on it, can you see the rock that when you stand on him, nothing shakes you? There's a scripture that says, the world is about to be shaken. Amen. It's about to be shaken. And what remains is what cannot be shaken. Can you be shaken? Or are you on the rock? And if you're on the rock, you cannot be shaken. There's so many things that can shake us. Guys, we get so shaken by little things. Get on the rock. See Jesus. And not be shaken. He's wonderful in every way. Oh Lord, the one who doesn't retaliate at the cross, but is silent like a lamb and dies for us. Do you see Jesus? Do you see him there for you, making a way for you, standing in the gap for you, opening up the way to the Father for you, taking his blood and sprinkling it on, washing every single one, not just here, but in heaven. You know Jesus sprinkled his blood in heaven? That's a whole other teaching. That's why you and I can go boldly to the throne of grace as we are, because the blood is already there. And it's washed us before we even get there. And wherever we go, to the throne of God, the Father is sitting there. The blood of Jesus is already there. You can go. It's only by the blood of Jesus that you can enter in. If you don't have the blood of Jesus, you've got to pay for your own blood. I'd rather thank Jesus for paying with his blood. Amen? So, he is not just a great apostle. He is the high priest. So if an apostle is one who is sent to represent God to us, then a high priest is one who goes from us to God to represent us to God. Amen? So consider Jesus, the one who came from God to represent God to us, and the high priest who goes from us back to God to represent us to the Father. Consider Jesus, the only way to the Father. What a glorious apostle who's come, who saves us. What a glorious high priest who takes us to the Father and says, these are my brothers, these are my sisters, they're yours, Father. How beautiful. How beautiful. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest. He came for us and he goes for us. He was made like us in every respect. This is interesting, folks. The world sees Jesus as a man, but don't want to see him as God. Amen? Sometimes the church sees Jesus as God, but we don't want to see him as a man. Do you know that he was man in every way? I'm sure he had stinky feet. Jesus had stinky feet. They didn't have proper shoes, and they walked in donkey dung. Do you think Jesus walked in donkey dung and it never stank? Hello? Jesus was born in a cow feeding trough without nurses sterilizing everything. Without a dummy being dropped on the floor and, ooh, we better clean the dummy. Jesus came to this earth. I'm being facetious, but he came to the earth. He came to the dust. He came to the dirt. He ate with us. He sat with us. He was hungry with us. He experienced what we experienced. He was tempted to be a Satan worshiper, and he overcame it with 40 days of fasting in a desert. Jesus knows what you're going through. He's a sympathetic high priest who understands you in every way. He's not like some priest who sits in a confessional box, who wears a little collar and a little black suit or whatever, and listens to you tell all your stories and says, I absolve you, and knows nothing about what you've gone through, because Jesus has gone through all of it. Was without sin, faced it all, had every opportunity to call 10,000 angels and wipe us all out, but he didn't. He was tempted to, I'm sure. I mean, he said, I can call 10,000 angels right now. I mean, when God sends two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah, what happens? Imagine if he sends 10,000 angels. It's like weapons of mass destruction like we've never known. Like the earth just becomes a black hole. He was tempted in every way. He was hurt. He feels. He knows. He's a great high priest. You think that your situation's unique? Jesus knows it. You think, well, Jesus was never alone. He was alone on that cross when he said, Father, forgive them. But then he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When all our sin was on him. He knows what it's like when there's sin on us. He never sinned willfully. He didn't do it. But he took our sin on him. He knows. He's a faithful high priest. He paid the price. He paid the pain, and he stands there for us in God's presence. Isn't that beautiful? Guys, consider Jesus. Can we be like that? Can we consider Jesus the apostle and go to our friends and be a representative of God to our people, in our families and in our businesses? Can we be apostolic and go and represent Jesus to the nations, to those that need him? Folk, if you've got a British passport, you might not be able to move around freely in Europe, but a South African one still can. I don't know. It's a bit of a visa to pay. Can we go and tell people about this Christ? I am praying for an opportunity to go to Eastern Europe. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I know that God has placed the desire in my heart. I'm praying, and I don't know where, but I know that He's calling me to go tell people about Him in Eastern Europe. To stand on the streets of wherever, in that continent that is God-forsaken, communist, and has no idea about religion, and when they try to find it, they're looking to Catholicism, and it's doing them no good. No good whatsoever. Somebody's got to go and represent Jesus Christ to those people and tell them, I'm here for you. Somebody's got to go to Prague, some of those places. I tell you, it's like the people are there treated like trash. The people are there are some of the poorest in the world. The people have got all kinds of addictions and slavery to sex and all kinds of stuff. They need Jesus like you need Jesus, like you've got Jesus. And it's not just Eastern Europe. It's right here, right now. It's everywhere. Can you go and be an apostle? Consider Jesus the apostle who came. Will you be like that? Somebody came to you and told you about Jesus. Somebody was an apostle to you. Somebody obeyed the heavenly calling and told you about Jesus Christ. Now it's your turn. Otherwise, you've got to go to heaven now. Who wants to go to heaven right now? We can help you. But we're going to go the long way around, eh? We're going to go the long way around because there's some stuff to do. Would you be like a high priest? When you hear of people's situations and demise, when you hear of people's hurts and pains, let's rather not go and exploit it on Facebook, but let's go to the face of the one who wrote the book. Amen? Let's go and be like a faithful high priest, that when we hear of our colleagues or our family members or our nation's issues, that we would be a faithful high priest and say, I feel that pain. And maybe we're going through what we go through in South Africa so we can feel a bit. And go to the Father's throne that Jesus has opened up for us and say, God, I'm feeling for my country. I want to pray. Hello? Sometimes what we feel, we're trying to kick it away and we complain at the people that are supposed to make us feel better when we should be praying to the one who felt for us and didn't complain when he went to the cross, like a lamb led to the slaughter, didn't open his mouth, but went silent and said, I'm doing this for them. I'm doing this for them. I feel the pain. I feel the sin. I feel the guilt. I feel it all. Forgive them, God. They don't know what they're doing. Help them, God. This is for them, God. Can you be like that and say, Lord, this cross is heavy to carry. This South Africa, this nation, this, that, this president, this government, it's heavy to carry, God. It's a load. It's hectic here. But God, for my brothers, for my neighbors, forgive them, Lord. Help them, Lord. I feel it, but I'm coming to you because you can change it. What kind? Are we going to think like Jesus? Or are we going to try and think like the political party we're believing in to be our little savior idol? No political party can save us, but Jesus alone can. Consider Jesus. He's the president of the party of heaven that wins. And he's calling us to be ambassadors for him. His kingdom is a kingdom that lasts forever. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom has come and is coming and is powerful and endures for all. And every other kingdom will shake and fall and disappear, but his kingdom will last forever. Whose kingdom do you want to be in? Whose kingdom do you want to operate in? What are you going to do for that kingdom? I challenge you in the name of Jesus. What are you doing for that kingdom? How are you thinking for it? How are you preparing your life for the things that are about to take place? What are you saying to folk? Are you offering them the things of the world, but you're keeping quiet about the salvation of eternity? Is your products and the things that you sell and the things that you want people to buy, is it all just for this world? Or do you consider that eternity is waiting for that person? Maybe those Toshibas are going to come with some. Yeah. Maybe some heavenly printing going on, I don't know. So I want to encourage us. He's the high priest and apostle of our confession. What is your confession? Holy brothers and sisters. Holy brothers and sisters. The original is brothers and sisters. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters.
you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. What are you confessing? What are you saying with your mouth? I trust that your confession is about Jesus. Your confession is what you believe in. I hope that your confession isn't just a confession of faith, but it's a confession of Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. Sometimes people have faith in faith. Stop having faith in faith and have faith in Jesus. Amen. Faith doesn't say just have faith. Faith says just have Jesus. There's a big difference. Faith doesn't say just believe. Faith says believe in Jesus. There's a major difference. Jesus is the confession of all that God has done for us. Jesus is the confession of all that we bring to God. Confess Jesus, not you. Jesus is our confidence, not our faith. Jesus is our boast, not our faith. Jesus is our hope, not our faith. You know what? Sometimes your faith is weak. And if your faith is weak, that's a silly thing to believe in. But let your faith be in the one that saves. Let your faith be in the one who is faithful, more faithful than Moses. He is faithful over all of God's house as a son in the house, not just a servant in the house. Let's put our faith in him. Don't put your faith in healing. Put your faith in the one who heals. Don't put your faith in deliverance. Put your faith in the one who delivers. And put your faith in provision. Put your faith in the one who provides. There's a big difference. And sometimes people say, oh, but our confession, we can create things with our words. You can create nothing with your words. Jesus Christ can create so much. Put your faith in him, and what he leads you to speak, that's what you do. Let's have our faith in him. He is faithful. Verse 2, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. What a faithful Savior. I want to pray for us. I wonder if somebody can play the guitar. And let's just get into just an atmosphere where God can work in our hearts, challenge and change and do something amazing in us. There's so much more that I want to share, but it's going to have to wait.